Welcome to The Summit, a podcast focused on bringing you the knowledge and insights for industry leaders. I'm your host, Kyle Hamer, and I'm on a mission to help you exceed your potential. As a sales guy turned marketer, I am passionate about building sustainable businesses. And if there's one thing I've learned in my 20-year career, it's that you won't find an overnight growth scheme, a shortcut to success, or a way to hack yourself to the top. Nope. Success is the byproduct of hard work, great relationships, and deep understanding done over and over. We're here to help you unlock that success with some secrets from other people, one conversation at a time. Welcome back to another episode of Summit Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Hamer. Today with me on the show, we have Jason Lee. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kyle. Glad to be here.
We're super excited to have you. For those of you who don't know Jason, Jason is the VP at Smart Group Houston. He's the host of the Gulf Coast Growth Show, which is a mouthful. It's a podcast. If you need to tune into it. Jason is an entrepreneur, connector, and relationship builder. He's a believer, husband, and father, and you'll find him injecting hope into people he meets through positivity, empathy, and always looking for a way to help. Jason, what did I miss?
I don't know, man. That was way better than my bio. I was going to try to say all kind of fancy stuff about all my cool achievements and awards. I was the national midget wrestling champion on the Southeast Corridor. So it was kind of a big deal. I'm just kidding. So no, I appreciate that. I'm very humble because you created the bio. I thought that was pretty cool, man. I appreciate that. If that's how you see me, I feel pretty grateful for that. You've been a pretty cool guy to get to know. So
thanks, man. It has been fun adding each other to our tribes and kind of running into other. You know, the reason I wanted to have you on the show and for those that are listening is you have an attitude of never surrender. And as an outside sales guy, COVID has been brutal. And so I thought, you know, let's have a conversation with somebody who's been living what's going on in the world of sales or selling door to door or outside in a time of lockdown and time of shut in and time of offices being closed or people not being in the office. And tell me a little bit about what the last 6-9 months has been like for you. I mean, you're a relationship guy. So how's Zoom working for you?
Oh man. So first of all, I'll say this, man, if it wasn't for faith, right. And the ability to have faith, if I was relying on me prior to that, it would probably be way worse than it has been. But fortunately I've been able to have that and have a little bit of peace kind of built around that. But yeah, man, it's been, for lack of a better term, it's been a really big roller coaster, of emotions, right. I always picture that, Ron Burgundy, scene where he's in the glass box of emotions when his dog dies. I kind of feel like that's kind of where I've been at, right? It's just this big glass box of emotions. It's been tough, but at the same time, I think forcing and challenging yourself to have to think outside of the box, actually start to embrace. I come from an old school methodology of sales, kind of that grind until you get there mentality. And so I think early on, there was this grind until, I'll just grind my way out of it. I'm a fitness background. I have a lot of experience in just having to like push through everything. And so I've kind of started that way and then have since learned to really kind of accept the pause and start to try to look at more creative ways and strategic ways to be more forward thinking and forward focusing, as opposed to just, I guess pedal to the metal full speed and just, really, I don't want to say volume, but I just believe that tenacity is what wins. And so, sometimes it's hard to be tenacious when you can only get through a Zoom call and you can't really get in front of the person yet, or they haven't really moved to a place where you can get to that next meeting yet. So usually I would just, I told a guy one time, he took the meeting. After a while, I chased him for a long time. I said, one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to call the cops or we're going to, we're going to become good friends. And so he finally took the meeting. So now it's like, I can't get to see him 100%. So that's been tough, but yeah, overall it's been pretty good. I mean, it's been a learning experience.
Well, you said, you mentioned there, you said that, hey, there've been some things that you've had to think about, maybe get a little introspective and not stack the deck, I'm guessing, with 400 Zooms in a week or in a month. What are some of the creative ways that you've had to learn to engage or think strategically
when you're stuck in an environment where you can't go rub elbows, have coffee, go play golf, do the things that you're used to doing for developing that relationship and developing that rapport?
Well, one of them is, being more active and engaging with people through social media and not just pursuing them through social media. So, it's easy to get into a social platform and essentially get, trapped into the scroll, bad habit or we all know that social media is a tool, but it's also a very dangerous tool in the sense that you become a time bandit or you can get on there. And so, one thing you go on, you go, I'm going to go on LinkedIn. I'm going to pursue these 10 people. And then an hour later, you've not gone anywhere and you've just kind of argued with some dude about, whatever. And so you're like, why the hell, what was I doing? So I think, being intentional on social media has really become a craft and something that I'm really trying to focus on. I would say better at it getting better and teaching that before this, and now have had to really master that because I don't want to be on social media all day. As a matter of fact, I don't even have the apps on my phone because they are time bandits. So I try to pull them up in a, when I'm tactically going to get into them and use them as a resource. And it's not just going to sell. So I don't go in and say, I'm just going to pursue clients, people such as yourself, other people in my tribe that I'm committed to that we're relying on a relational piece, right? So, I want Kyle to think about Jason either when he has a big case and some money comes in, or he runs across a client who's trying to retain some key people. I don't want him to be like, I want that to be top of mind. And so in the past, I might run into Kyle regularly at some kind of social event or, at an organization we served on. But since those things aren't coming together, I don't want Kyle to think like, man, Jason he's done a really great job of pitching me in my inbox all day long. I want Kyle to think, man, every time I put some content out, Jason's engaging with me and talking to me. And so I virtually am creating a relationship with Jason. So, I feel like because I've been able to keep up with your content and the work that you're doing, like even though I haven't seen you in several months, I don't feel distant from you. And so I like to think that given the right opportunity, should it present yourself, I would stand out to you more than a guy who, the last three emails you've got from him are like, hey, can I talk to you about your IRA? Or hey, can I talk to you about, what are your thoughts on the market conditions? Stuff like that. I think you'd probably be more in tune with me because you and I, we're virtual friends, right? And so but we're more than that, but we've been able to sustain that. So that would be my kind of 2 cents for that.
So now you talked about being strategic with social media. And then I think one of the things you just touched on there was like, hey, you don't have it on your phone. You only bring it up on your computer. What are some of the different ways in which you can help minimize getting stuck in a doom scroll or being inundated with a bunch of things you don't want to see or non-related prospects or people that like, how do you use social media to be intentional? Like you're talking about to create these relationships. Is there a technique you have? Is there tools that you use? How are you using it?
Well, first of all, let me say this. There's been peaks and valleys during this season. So I think that's something that I want to make sure. I think it's okay to have peaks and valleys. There are some times when I just want to mindlessly scroll, because I just feel like it. And usually that's where I'll go to Facebook. I'll mindlessly scroll Facebook or whatever. I also believe that I would say this early on in the pandemic, I was regularly tuned into the news. And so because I was regularly tuned into the news, because I was concerned about what was happening with COVID. I don't think we'd ever been through this. So I remember I would, constantly get this twitch of going and checking on my phone. And then it became the election, and then it became the markets. So we start kind of habitually going back to resources or conversations because they're enthralling, right? They suck you into like, oh my God, what's happening? Because our world was flipped upside down. So I've had to, I've had peaks and valleys, but I think in the last month or so, I really kind of had to take a step back and say, okay, I can't allow myself, nor for the success of myself, my family, my clients, the people that I care about, to get baited into what these, if you look at the show, The Social Dilemma, I know what it's doing, and I can't, you can't stop. You're like, I know these guys are peppering me with this crap for a reason, and I'm still going back to it. So I think it's becoming consciously aware of it and being intentional about it. So that's all it's really been is, you know, whenever I said it, I have a, like a lot of sales guys, I have a kind of a, I'm a high fast start. My follow through is kind of right. I mean, if I think, you know, usually the follow through, the 10 follow through guys, that guy that loves to be on a CRM and he's, you know, third out of or third from the bottom, second from the bottom, because he's the CRM whiz, but doesn't like to go crush grows. I like to just be in front of people, serving them, take care of them. But a lot of times, if I don't hold discipline to things, I'll get all over the board. So it's easy. So my best resources, taking a day, setting a timer for when I'm intentional doing those things, and then saying, okay, I'm going to scroll through. For example, I use Sales Navigator on LinkedIn. So I'll pick who I'm following, why I'm, so you're one of them. So, you know, today it's on my calendar after this call from 11 to 12 is LinkedIn activity. Well, what that means, I go into Navigator, and my alerts are all the people that I've already triggered. So these are people that I, or they're in my tribe, or that I've created on a, or on a target list. And when I say target, I hate to use that term, but really they're a relational target risk, because I don't know what they are yet. I don't know if they're a friend or prospect, or if they're a referral partner. But I'm, you know, so while I'm sending them drip campaigns, I go through and I click on them. And then as I'm clicking through their content, I'm starting to form an opinion of who I want to work with, right? Who I want to have that relationship with. And so as I see people who potentially don't act, think, or breathe, and or, you know, invite the way that I would, right? So if I click on someone's stuff and all they're doing is advertising every day, and I go, okay, time out. This guy's not here to form a relationship. It does not do me any good to have this guy really as a followed person, because I'm not gonna get anywhere with this dude. This guy's literally probably, if I message that person, it's probably not going to go to him. It's probably going to go to their marketing team that they've hired to do that work, right? So I'm looking for people who are throwing out authenticity, that are engaging, that are doing work. And you'll find business owners and entrepreneurs and people like that who are doing that. That's who I'm pushing to. And then that's who I'm going to go pursue, comment, engage with, because they're going to come back to me and they're more inclined to have a conversation. Some of my best virtual clients that I've pulled from LinkedIn, they weren't from a drip campaign. They were somebody who I constantly kind of stay front of mind. And then eventually, after a couple of months, I just threw the lure out there. And then they said, hey, yeah, let's have a conversation. And or they approached me and said, hey, I've kind of picked up that you do these things. Can we have a little bit more of a conversation? I'm just curious. And those are fun, right? It's fun when like a business owner or CEO or somebody decides they want to have a conversation with you because they're curious about what you're doing. But I didn't get it that way by going like, hey, can I say something? It's like, hey, who are you? I like that book too. Have you read this book? You know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and what's interesting is it sounds to me like you've really leaned hard into, you know, they've labeled it social selling, but I just think it's business, virtual business, right? It's connecting online. What helped you come up with your program? I mean, it sounds to me like a lot of the things you're talking about have to do with mindset, and you're in an environment where the things that really turn your crank, they really fire you up, they really motivate Jason, and as the outside rep, as the person who goes and brings in the business, right? Just got to go get the gross. Mm-hmm. DTG, get that gross. How did you, or what did you do to help control your mind, or what are things that you've done in order to keep yourself motivated? Because this could be really a demotivating time for folks.
Well, let's start. I've gone through every cycle, right? You know, meaning of the emotional roller coaster is part of that deal. I think I came out the gates when this first happened, overly hype, you know, like, okay, this is a chance when everyone else is going to fall. So I'm going to like, you know, like I'm just going to keep pushing. And the way I would liken it to is, you know, I remember, you know, there were seasons in my career early on as a producer, in the fitness industry where like, I would be like, you know, I remember as a young manager, it would be like Christmas week, and we'd still win, but I would like make my guys work like so hard when there was nothing going on, right? Like I would just have a club full of people 2 days before Christmas, nobody's coming in. And I'm like, you know, the $300 of new memberships, whatever that we got when everyone else got zero, I'd be like, we're 300 times better than zero, you know? And I'd be like boastful about that. Right. And then I thought, man, I probably could have just got those 300 back, on like a really, really productive day and put all my energy into that. But I just carried every productive day, which, you know, I learned that painfully because I lost staff along the way and I lost a lot of energy along the way because I used to do that. So I kind of had that, like, I'm not going to get crushed by Corona, you know, first four weeks. And I was just like blasting and doing stuff and like working around the clock and trying to make up for the fact that we were closed and I wasn't going to let it defeat me. And then I was just really burned out. Like I'm, you know, I think, before I went on a little hiatus with my family, I think the day before that hiatus, I had 8 Zoom calls back to back, like 8 hours this, right. And that was, and I don't even know what I did for it. I was just like, yeah, I did 8 hours, rah, you know? And then I realized, man, I'm burned out. Like, I don't really want to be doing this. This is not, you know, I like to sit with Kyle in a coffee shop, man. I like to have that, you know, personal stuff. I want to, you know, I feel like if I'm sitting across from you and we get hung on a relational discussion and you're talking to me about your kids and that ends up taking 30 minutes because it's good. And then we look at the clock and we, but you can feel that and you go, this is a good place to be. You can't do that here. So what ends up happening is it's the relational stuff is like nuanced, you know, it's like a, you know, we do this little 15 minute, you know, warp thing, you know, we're like, okay, hey, how are you? Go, cool, kids, weekend, okay, cool, we're friends now. Let's tackle the agenda and then get up the hell off this call. Like, so that's kind of where I feel like I had to take a step back and then I had to just be really intentional. And so how I pushed through it, I'm not gonna lie, man, I had probably about a 5-week, you know, I have a thing called my Berkman that tells me a lot about the things that I do. And when I get burned out, I'll just push stuff off and not want to get to it. So, so what I've intentionally done, over the last probably 5 weeks, I started trying to pull myself out of this little ditch I was in. And the ditch is that I think every sales guy's been there. And let me back up. I don't want to refer to myself as a sales guy because I'm actually a comprehensive financial professional, right? So we do a lot of that. Sales just happens to be my role. But I still have the daily task of like every other person who's probably not in your audience that is a salesperson to get my butt kicked across the planet, driving around from car to car, you know, appointment to appointment, Woodlands to Lake City, meeting a person who's a prospect only to find out that they're not a prospect, to drive to the other side of town to, you know, starting at 6 a.m. I mean, coming home at 9 o'clock at night. So I do that and still do that and love that. But I guess what I'm trying to tell you is I got in that deal where I was doing that and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? You start going, you start believing all the stuff that's going on around you, starting to see it happen inside of you. And then it starts to control the way you think. And I caught myself there, you know, early on in your career, you say to yourself, man, I'm young. When I was young, I used to not understand when someone would tell me they have to talk to your wife. I'd be like, bro, that's so lame. Like now I'm married and I guess what I would, I got to talk to my wife about buying things. It's just how I am. So I started to understand when a client's like, hey man, can we talk a little bit after the election or this and that? And so, because I'm personally waiting on some things from an investment perspective and some real estate deals and things, and I'm kind of sitting back and sitting on cash, looking at these deals, you know, I was like, you know, I'll hear that and go, okay, everybody wants to wait till the end of the election. Right. And so then all of a sudden that starts rooting in my brain. And then it's like, I start throwing in the towel when the reality is there might be a segment of people who start to feel and think that way, but there's still a segment of people who are seeing it differently and they perhaps need clarity during this journey or they need something else. And so if I hang myself or my thoughts on the negative stuff, then I eventually get myself in a bad habit of expecting the no or expecting the wrong answer when I reach out to that person. So what I shift in is a mindset of, and there's a great book called The Greatest Salesman in the World from Og Mandino, OG Mandino. I think I sent you a copy of it. I don't know if you got it yet.
Yeah, it's on my desk. I was starting to read it this morning before Sweet. We hopped on the podcast.
Okay, awesome. So inside of these 10 scrolls, a lot of that about this mantra has nothing to do with sales, actually. It has everything to do with behavioral wiring. And so as an example, I love some of the things it talks about, but this is kind of where I'm in my mindset. I'm like, okay, I'm afraid of what people are going to tell me. So I'm afraid of rejection. So I potentially don't make calls, where instead I'll say, okay, because I'm getting these negative no's, I'm going to make twice as many calls as I would normally make, solely for the reason that I'm going to push myself through the adversity of saying it. And then while it might feel at first like it's not effective usage of my time, it's a retooling of your brain. So it's not looking at those 200 calls or that 200 activities as, did I get them perfect or was it right? It's looking at it as, did I change the way that my belief system works? Even if I hear 199 no's and get one yes, I'm not going to go out and make 1,000 calls to get just a couple of yeses. That might be inefficient. I might retool my wiring, but I can control my mindset to say, I'm going to push as hard as I can. I'm going to think and be creative. I'm going to use these 200 conversations as practice. I'm going to use them as an opportunity to develop a relationship. I'm going to see where this could manifest, because I've always measured my effectiveness not by how many clients I got, but how many relationships I developed. And then from there, I'll let the clients manifest. Or as an example, right, when I first met you up in the Woodlands that day, you know, I was connecting with you. I was looking at your experience. I had no idea when I showed up to meet you, you know, I'm gauging based on our conversation, the story that you tell me, if I'm like going to try to pepper you with some work stuff, or maybe we're referral. I mean, how am I supposed to choose that in advance? But what I will tell you is this, is it has manifested into a great value out of my life. So if I would have said, oh, I hope I might want to reach out to Kyle, but what if he tells me wait till after the election? Like this, you know, what if I missed that opportunity over the next few months? I mean, I say next few months because, you know, this stuff is still up in the, you know, whatever. I don't want to get down that path. Does that make sense, man?
Yeah, it does. No, it makes perfect sense. And I think, you know, from my perspective, as it relates to building relationships, I think one of the things that is a common misnomer, or when people think about tools, you know, it sounds to me like this is kind of the experience you've lived, where it's like, well, I'll use the tool to get the introduction, but I'll get inside my sweet spot by getting in front of people. And when I get in front of people, it's over coffee or over a cheeseburger or lunch, whatever it is, we'll do something. We'll share a little bit of, you know, elbow to elbow time. I'll determine whether or not this person is a prospect or what the status of the relationship is. And you really have two choices as you go down that path, which is, do I want to keep this relationship kindled or do I want to kill it? And I think one of the things that I hear is that outside guys, as they're transitioning, guys that are used to working that particular way, they're having a hard time figuring out, do I kill or kindle, right? It's like, what do I do with the relationship at this juncture? Cause I don't get the warm fuzzies, or I don't get the emotional energy or the things that I would see virtually. However, it seems to me like you've kind of figured out a system of adjustment where you're not 100% inside sales, almost like a hybrid. You're not 100% inside sales where you're just beating the phones every day or stuck on, you know, 8 Zooms a day, but you've figured out this I think back in the day we said, build a plan, know your plan, work your plan. It seems to me like you're continuing to adjust it to find that sweet spot, whether it's another 6 months that we're in this weird quagmire, or if this is something that's kind of, we have to adjust to it for the longer haul. Why do guys have such a hard time doing that? Like why is that behavior modification that you just talked about so difficult?
Well, let's talk about the, from a wiring perspective, right? If you're in sales, you're probably, right? Like if you've signed up for this gig, right, then there's probably a highlight. So there's a couple of scenarios, right? I'm a good example of one of those scenarios, but one of them is you're just, you're educated. You've dropped yourself into a space. You realize maybe like as an engineer that, you know, hey, I can only go this high. And, but there, the man, that the sales guy in my office like makes 3 times as much money, and I'm like over here in the corner, and I could be better than that. So you picked a safe career path, and you decided to do something more because you wanted to accelerate beyond that. I mean, I remember a friend of mine who was an executive recruiter that was an engineer, that recruited guys that he was, you know, so he basically made probably 2.5 times the amount of money as the engineers that he was recruiting, but he used to do their job. He just got tired of seeing that ceiling. Right. That's that kind of really cool example, but the majority of us though, right. We're like, you know, I mean, I didn't know, what I was going to do. And so I just had to find a gig, and the gig was sales, and it was early in my life. And I just got kind of, I don't want to say pigeonholed into it, but I rolled myself into it. And I look up 20 years later, I'm still doing it. And it's like, what am I going to do? Stop and go to law school? Like I just got to keep going. And it's become my DNA. So I think the hardest part that we have is most of us have a wiring or DNA that's been, you know, ingrained into our brains over a period of time. And so it's a habit, right? And so you develop these habits that have been wired into you, and then all of a sudden you got to change your habit. And that's really difficult because the typical salesperson or the typical producer, number one, they're very emotional by nature, right? They live and die by the sword, and they like that. So when someone takes your routine, right, and then just flips it upside down on you overnight and tells you go do your job in a completely different manner, and then you're trying to figure out how to do that, you know, there's process people and then there's salespeople for a reason, right? And so typically salespeople aren't process people. So typically the process that they use to go about their business every day was developed by somebody who had morphed from a salesperson to a process person. And so what happened is the paradigm shifted, and then everybody, you know, 99% of the salespeople out in the world today aren't process people. So they're having to try to reverse and develop a sell process, which is difficult. And then everybody who claims to be a process person is out there selling stuff about how to adjust in these times. But then what I'm seeing and what I feel is there's a lot of the guy telling you how to sell his stuff is the guy who's probably doing it wrong in a lot of scenarios, right? He's like, he's coaching himself and telling everybody he's a coach. And you go back and you find out he's not actually even a coach, right? Like, or he was a coach, but like he never actually produced. And so then now they're in this new paradigm. And does that make sense? Like I'm seeing a lot.
It makes perfect sense.
Everybody all of a sudden is this intranet guru. And I'm like, so where were you 3 months ago? Like, are you, you know? And so I think we're all kind of stuck in that deal. So yes, I had to flip my mind into realizing I don't have to pound out 8-9 hour days. I have to just be more creative and be more thoughtful, maybe even spend more time in strategy instead of just feeling like I have to get on the wheel and start pedaling as fast as I can, if that makes sense.
It does. Well, and from what I know about the Berkman, right, from if you're, I'm guessing you're up and to the right, right? Right. You're heavy green.
Oh yeah.
You feed off being around people and interacting with people, the connection, the relationship building we talked about. What are some of the things you've done? You talked about being burnt out. What are some of the things you've done or strategies you've deployed to help feed that high energy and feed those parts of your heart and your mental approach to things to keep your cup full so you could keep going and not be burnt out? Was it changing your life balance with work? Was it, you talked about strategy, but what are the adjustments you made to make sure that you could still meet the daily tasks with the energy that's required for it to be a Jason Lee type day?
So stop times, like I have a very defined stop time, right? I'm done at this time. My wife used to travel for sales and then come home. So we really, our relationship has really flourished in the sense that we got committed to times that we were going to be done. Even she was working from home and then getting sucked into the vortex of stuff. And so we would just say like, this is it, we're done. And so we created a lot of really good patio discussion sessions, which were great. I think I've learned more about the depth of my wife in the last 6 months than I did for the 3 years we were together before that. So I'm very, very grateful for that. Relational calls, like just, you know, I've always had this habit and I continue to nourish this habit. I put together a list of 20 people every week that I intend to reach out to. And I did this prior to this in my car. That was my car work. I would always call and check on people. And a big reason for that is I had suffered the pain one time of reaching out to a friend when I first started the industry 3 years ago. And I was doing what I normally do, go to my warm network, asking for help. And he was like, dude, how come you only call me when you need something, you know? And I hung on that, even though he was in sales. And I felt like saying, hey, bro, we're both in sales. Like, we both know we're busy. I'm calling you because I need some help. Don't be a, you know. I didn't say that. I took it personal. So I said, man, I don't ever want that to happen again. So I'm going to call 20 people a week so that I'm never catching anybody off guard. Not because I intend to then turn around and, you know, join a direct sales company and call them up and be like, hey, you know, buy some vitamins. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I'm saying I don't ever want to be that guy that reaches out of the blue, because what if I do need something, right? I want to stay on top of that. But more importantly, relational capital equity is really important. So I've kind of maintained that. And then at the same time, probably the biggest one is capturing the moment, right? So a couple of times I've been trying to like get on to the next thing that I've got to do, and an opportunity presents itself to stop and either help my daughter with something or stop and have a conversation in the morning with my wife, you know. And while I thought that, like, I might be like, okay, but I got to get to these, you know, this LinkedIn hour that I've scheduled myself. Well, if my wife or my daughter needs something, or, you know, and that's an opportunity right there, where in the past, because I had a full calendar of crap and I physically had to be there, I couldn't have stopped for those things. Or it was, you know, you've got four kids, right? But, you know, the scramble to get them out the door, to get them to school, to do it. Well, my daughter's homeschooling right now. So, you know, those things are kind of like opportune, right? Like, we had a quick powwow this morning at the table, and those things didn't exist before. So it's looking at those opportunities. When my daughter says, hey, can you help me with this math problem? And I'm about to, you know, go hop on LinkedIn, you know, I could say help daughter with math problem or do LinkedIn exercise for myself. I'm doing the math problem, which, you know, and learning to embrace that, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. I mean, I think it's one of the things where I think it's one of the silver linings, if you will, of the business disruption, the process disruption, the things that we've all experienced over the last 9 months. Yeah. Yes, we definitely appreciate teachers more. Yes, we definitely appreciate our people who are working in grocery stores and daycare centers, and just the people that are making lives go around when you're a super busy professional. But I think because life was disrupted and interrupted, it forced everybody to slow down a bit and be more intentional with the relationships. I mean, I traveled a lot before, into 2019, and even late into 2019 was still, you know, in that mode of meeting is more important, meeting is more important, meeting is more important. And I've got a sophomore in high school. Well, if it hadn't been for COVID, I probably wouldn't have slowed down enough to really rekindle that relationship and rebuild in things that have been missed out. I can't go back and make up for the things that have moved on, right? The moments that have gone by, but I can be a lot more intentional now, because there's nothing that's like, hey, you have to be, yes, you'll have meetings, you'll have things that you've got to go to, but 90% of the time, oh, if I walk into my office now or in 15 minutes, there's really not any change in productivity, but there will be a big impact in my daughter's life or my kid's life if I don't take that 15 minutes to focus on them. And so I think there's been a silver lining, at least for our family, sounds like for yours, mm-hmm. in strengthening your relationships and really truly understanding the why. Which brings me to, what's your why? Like, what is it that motivates Jason, and why are you so dead set on connecting people, being a relationship builder, and helping people build for the future? Like, why does that turn your crank?
Wow. Okay, man. I didn't know I was going to get a chance to preach, but I guess I will. Hey man. So, I didn't understand. So I believe that we're all wired, by God for specific things. And I believe a lot of us don't know, up until a certain point in our lives, what that is, right? We just have these gifts, we have these skills, but sometimes they're never, first of all, they're never activated, meaning people don't actually use them. Mine were really brought out in the fitness industry by a mentor who saw that I had gifts, and it was the first place I ever learned that I really enjoyed helping people, like helping them lose weight, feel better, and helping grow team members. I just, the manifestation of seeing people go from good to great was just a great thing for me, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And so I never really felt like selling. It just felt like I happened to have a skill set to sell. But it was, I think people understood, you know, when someone became a member of my health club, I was always like, you're not just a member of the 24 Fitness, you're a member of Jason Lee's club. Like, right. So you don't buy anything without talking to me. You don't do anything without talking. You know how many members I got in this club? I have access to cars, tires, freaking car washes, dry cleaning. You don't, if you ever do anything without talking to me first, you're going to hurt my feelings, because I want to be a guy who takes care of you. And so that kind of a mentality translated over into kind of the manifestation of where I am, you know, today. But it wasn't until I had suffered probably significant loss through divorce and a lot of money and stuff and job change and getting my butt kicked as an entrepreneur, my first go around, I had literally bottomed out. And then when I found God and specifically Christ, I realized rooted in all these things were a desire for kind of a legacy approach, because a lot of, I think at our core, especially as men, we want to have this, you know, we grow up watching these movies where all these knights and all these people, and they all have these like cool, you know, like, I don't know if you grew up watching that stuff, but like, I wanted, you know, there's always like a legacy behind Star Wars, or there's a legacy behind these things. And so, you know, a lot of us either, I think there's like absentee role for a lot of males around their children. And so what we've kind of seen is males have disembarked. They go out and they think, I got to go sell. So I never come home. Or I don't spend quality time doing the right things. And so what I've witnessed, whether it be men that are gone completely, and I experienced that a lot in my youth, and or men that are there, but they're never present, if that makes sense, being a major gap. So I thought, man, if we could solve that at its core, and really try to help. I had a man pour into my life and help shape me over the last 5 to 6 years. And because of that, I would like to say that I'm probably a 180 from the person that I was before in regards to the things that make me tick. So my why is real simple, man. I want to help, my end game is to help as many men as possible develop a relationship with a higher power, hopefully be Christ, but also lead their families, lead the community, create a kind of a next generation of people who are going to go out and do great things, and teach them to lead their households that way. I found a job that allows me to do that. I work with people's financially. I work with business owners and their legacies financially. But at the same time, because I'm free to go out and create relationships, I've been able to be actively involved in certain ministries and other things that wouldn't typically be available if I had to sit in an office all day and had a boss telling me I had to be here, I had to be there. So I have the benefits and the luxury of having flexibility in my job, but also my job manifests like, if I have, a friend who is successful and runs a company come over to my house, and we give some fellowship to them and invite them over and show them. I'll give you a great example. One guy, I've been pursuing him. He makes a ton of money, very, very successful. He's got the most wonderful heart on the planet. And in about 2 months after chasing him, I realized I want to help this guy like thrive. Like, man, I want to see him grow, be amazing with his wife and his kids and do these amazing things, but he's got some bad habits. And so I'm more concerned about those habits, and I'll put his prospects of him, you know, investing his money with me on the back burner, because now that's my why. And I'd rather see that happen. And then if he becomes a client, great. Does that make sense? So that's it, man. I mean, at the end of the day, if I can just live my life and see people just be a little bit better than they were before they met me, I'd probably be pretty happy. And I want to make sure I give the glory to him. So
that's great. Thanks for sharing. Tell us, let me ask it a different way. I don't say tell us. Is there a story that would, in your mind, kind of encapsulate what COVID, what the business disruption and things have done to you? That it's like, hey, man, I just was looking at this particular story, and it basically just sums up what this experience has been like for me. Do you have a story like that?
Like one encapsulating story about this experience?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have, Okay, I'll give you a really cool story. It might sound completely like I'm a whack job, but I'll just share it anyways. I've had a couple of clients that were, you know, because of the volatility of what's going on, we've been on the cusp, right? We've been at the 5-yard line. They're significant cases. They're like life-changing type deals. And both, like, right as they've been at the finish line, you know, while they've been at the finish line, something will come up, right? Something, you know, unbeknownst in a shift in their organization or whatever. And so it's like, it keeps stop pausing, but it, I mean, we're talking about like handshake. We think we're about to get the, you know, we've done probably 2 years of work there. My team has done phenomenal work there. And then they're the kind of cases that manifest and allow my family's future for the next 12 months. It takes this kind of breathing room off of us. And so in the last 30 days, I thought we were in the end zone. Like, we were in the end zone. So we were making decisions as a household based on those things. And then, you know, the ball, you know, got fumbled, you know? And so not on our part, right? There's no gap there. There's no mistake. It's just stuff that happens, right? Like, we're in a very volatile season, right?
You pulled a Leon Lett.
Yeah, it was bad. So, but I had already put a lot of these, our households already put a lot of things in motion based on what we were thought was going in the end zone. Everybody's in sales. Now the deals aren't gone, right? So I'm being optimistic that they're still there, but man, like having that happen and then come home and like, and then drive. And then like you got a whole day. Like, I didn't even want to go to work the next day. And then I had like 3 or 4 days just back to back to back. But again, we've already put things in motion in my forecast for the Lee household that we're not undoing those things. Those things aren't being undone. And so those things are going, but we're just kind of like hoping this other stuff comes. But then now there's this pressure in this environment that if they fall through, we've called sweep right. This stuff falls through. I still got to go figure out how to get sweep right play to work, you know? And it felt a lot easier when I thought those things were going over the finish line. And then all of a sudden, and then what that did, as I do a lot of my favorite verses, Proverbs 3:4-6, 5-6, which is trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. He'll show you which paths to take. Well, I use that verse regularly. And then what's interesting is I would even say these things and you got to trust God, you got to trust this, you got to trust that. And then what I'm saying is defines this is all of that happening. And I'm doing this and having these conversations with people every day. And I'm in my car and not even trusting him at all. And so I don't mean to preach in that perspective, but I'm saying this, it was a really big gut check to myself that said, hey man, I've been very fortunate and very blessed to have a great wife, great life, great house, great company, great friends, great relationships. All these things have manifested. And it's as salespeople, I think we're wired to forget about all of our victories in the past, because in my old job, I could be 122% to goal on the 30th. And on the first, I was back to zero. And I have this wiring that does that. And it's just horrible. So if the easiest way for me to describe that is that example right there, because, you know, I told my family, hey, we're going this way. And then it's just been like, you know, I know I'm supposed to keep going this way, but I'm like, oh my God, am I going the right way? Am I going the right way? Am I going, you know? And so it's hard to say those words out loud to people every day to try to be inspiring, to try to lift other people up, to lift your family up, to lift your friends up, to say all that stuff and then get in your car and be driving around going like questioning whether or not that's the right way and doubting yourself and having, you know, I hate to say it, maybe confidence problems with it. Like, oh my God, what have I done? Not that we've done completely irresponsible stuff. Trust me. I mean, I'm on top of it, but I just mean that to say, yeah, dude, like we think we've all experienced that, right? Like there's somebody right now listening to this who, bought a house, they did all this stuff during the pandemic, they made these decisions. And then inside of 2 months, the dynamic in their business has changed. Perhaps they're in logistics and something's changed because they're shutting down Europe again, right? Like that's happening right now. And someone bought a house because their job felt fine because we were coming out of the pandemic. And then all of a sudden, boom, logistics change, Europe's shut down, they can't get their product from Europe. You know, it might be some kind of weird widget that goes in a board that they sell, because this is happening in the United States, especially in this region right now because of the Gulf Coast. And they're literally going, like, their boss showed up yesterday and was like, hey, dude, you don't have a job. Like, that's the, you know, I that's kind of the gist of it. So, and I hope somebody listening to this would say that, hey, man, you gotta just keep trusting and kind of having faith in that, because it never fails if you keep pushing forward.
That's great. Jason, how can somebody get a hold of you? So, I mean, I think everything we've shared today has been fantastic. If somebody wants to follow you, listen into you, or connect with you, or just has questions about what's this wild, crazy man, Jason Lee from Smart Houston, what's he do? How do they get a hold of you?
The easiest thing to do is just through LinkedIn. I'm on there regularly a couple of times a day. You can also email me at JLEE@smartgrouphouston.com. But yeah, I would encourage to engage. I'm an open networker. I love to chat with people and see if there's any way I can be of value and extend my network and my resources. Kyle, you're one of my resources and somebody in my network. I think your unique value proposition of not only being a marketing person, but a marketing person who understands sales. I think that sometimes there's a major gap between those two departments, marketing and sales. And it's because they're wired differently. So I think you've done a masterful job of bridging that gap. So, you know, I have you as a resource. I have a lot of other resources. So if it involves money and people, man, I tell people to call me, because I usually have some pretty cool resources to help with those things. And I'm happy to be there for people. So.
Well, we don't want to hurt your feelings, as we heard earlier that, you know, you've got a tire guy and a car dealer guy and a car wash guy. So like if there's somebody who needs to know a guy, you got to go see Jason. I think that's,
That's
if there's any other takeaways other than all the other great juicy things, it's like, if I got a question, I got to go see Jason.
Just ask me, dude. I know somebody, trust me.
I know.
I vetted them, right? Because, let me say this, cause this makes me so mad. There's this new thing going around on like LinkedIn where someone will, so I'm just telling you, for your salesperson, like this whole thing of, hey, if you need me to endorse you, but you don't know somebody, and you're, cause there's a new thing where they'll message you and they're like, hey, let me know if you need some endorsements. I'm like, are you going to endorse me for leadership? Like, you don't even know me. And then the other one is I've got this really great referral program, you know, where you can do this and do that. So referral programs are a crappy lead in, and so is often to endorse somebody. It says a whole lot about what your name means, because I'm not signing my name off anybody unless we've done this. And I sure as hell ain't letting you talk to my clients for a couple $100. So build some value into what you're doing. Quit trying to throw that janky stuff out there. So relationships
that they are where it's at. 20 seconds on your Gulf Coast growth show. What's it about?
The Gulf Coast, man, everything is about growth and the economy. We are a third-party advocate. We serve with the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region. And if a lot of people are unfamiliar about the significant impact of the Gulf Coast and what all it does from a logistics, transportation, economic perspective, everything that comes in and out of the state of Texas and even now participates and drives towards the Midwest is happening down in our port and Gulf Coast region. So it's really critical for people to be in tune with exactly what's taking place, because it has a direct impact to your pocketbook, to your jobs, to local jobs, and to the development of our community. So a lot of times when you see traffic and things happening on the roads and you're wishing those things would get done, I'm typically trying to bring people on our show who are communicating the whys behind what's taking place and how it's going to help impact you here in the city of Houston and throughout our state of Texas.
That's great. Well, Jason, we've really loved having you being on the show. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your generosity and being willing to be vulnerable and share, just what the last 9 months have been like, a day in the life of Jason Lee.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
For those of you who are listening, you've been listening to another Summit podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Hamer. Remember to like, subscribe, follow. And if you want to get information on how to get connected with Jason, make sure you look down in the comments or the description of the particular episode, and we'll have all that contact information. Again, I'm Kyle Hamer, your host. And until next week, you've been listening to Summit Podcast.